Hammond, but the other one.
Oh, the young Kirk Franklin.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Put on some Kirk Franklin. We need to get some. We need to get some soul in here. You can put on anything you want. I just feel like, you know what I mean? Well, Kirk Franklin. Woohoo! You weren't there for that one? You missed the Kirk Franklin? You missed out on old Kirk. Kirky Turkey. There you go.
Feels like a cold night.
Get down.
Today's a new day. Where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you
crank it?
Tell me it's all right.
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower now.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over,
I smile. Even though I hurt, see, I smile. I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
what you do?
I smile.
Come on and
smile.
Like it?
It's so hard to look up when you look down.
Gotta be in the mood for it.
I hate to see you give up now.
God's people.
You look so much better when you smile.
Now every day ain't gonna be perfect, but it still don't mean today don't have purpose. Come on!
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds and it's dark in my heart and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, bud.
Today's a new day, but tell me where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's all right.
The truth is,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain.
That Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a shower now.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still,
I smile.
Come on.
Even though I hurt, see, I smile.
Can y'all feel that?
I know God is working, so I smile.
You're in right now.
Smile for me.
I did.
Smile.
Okay, so you're getting it? Okay. Good.
And my people say,
oh, oh, oh. You look so much better when you're oh, oh.
Right.
You look so much better when you're oh, oh, oh.
Gotcha.
You look so much better when you're oh,
I say,
oh, oh. You look so much better when you're oh, oh, oh.
And while you're waiting,
so much better when
yeah.
You're
and why are you praying?
You look so much better when you're
look in the mirror.
You look so much better when you're
always remember.
You look so much better when you smile.
Come on.
I almost gave up.
I almost gave up.
That I can't explain.
But the Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like
came down
the
from
shower
heaven. Down. Hardships, difficulties.
Right now.
Tears, storms. This is what I do.
Even though I hurt.
What are we talking about, rhinoceroses?
I got you. Oh, you're a big boy.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you don't mind, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus. Listen.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about that man.
Yes, yes,
it is the sweetest.
Hallelujah.
Sweetest name I know.
Everybody is.
Come on and lift your
That's
hands
pretty typical. We are? Well, shalom. Hey, this is Rabbi Joe. I want to welcome you and to our Shabbat service. People are dragging in this. We're going through the bomb cyclone. You all heard of the bomb cyclone? That's like a polar vortex times 10. So we're going through the bomb cyclone, which in where I come from in Boston, we used to call it winter, but now we call it the bomb cyclone. So anyway, people are dragging in a little bit, but I want to welcome folks. We're going to get underway in just a minute, but right now I want to let you listen to a little Mr. Kirk Franklin.
Something about the legend.
Hallelujah. Get you in the mood. Praise God. Shalom, everybody. We'll begin with the blessing of the Messiah, which I'll sing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu et derech ha-yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to welcome everybody online. Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you're with us today. I'm Rabbi Joe, and I'm waiting on my beloved. She's hiding. My beloved is hiding from me. She's hiding among the mandrakes. All right. Ma tohu oha.
Avotecha Israel, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles, Israel. V'ani bero hasdecha, avo beitecha, eshtachave elecho, kadshecha v'yiratecha. And in thy great compassion, I will come into your house. There I will bow, there I will fear thy holiness, O Lord.
O Lord, I love the house where you dwell and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
And now we turn to the Vishamru, page 45. Good morning, everybody. Let's hear aloud. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
All right. Amen. That was good. You folks on the right, one more time. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Amen. All right, you did awesome over there. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledoratam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. B'nei u'b'nei b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, ohi li'olam. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, et shmayim v'et haaretz. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. V'yom ha-shvi, Shabbat v'inafash, Shabbat v'inafash, Shabbat v'inafash. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Shalom bim ramah, hu yaseh shalom aleinu v'al kol Yisrael. May he who makes peace in the high places make peace for Israel and for all mankind. And let us say, Amen.
Shalom bim ramah, hu yaseh.
said before, that means, may he who makes peace in the high places make peace for Israel and for all mankind, and let all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Pray for Jerusalem. We're going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem at this time. Shalu, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'll have a pepperoni. Praise the Lord. That was somebody's phone was ringing. But we're going to pray for Jerusalem, seriously. Psalm 122, verse 6 through 9 says and exhorts us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper. Who love her. Abba, we come before you and we pray, Shalu, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the holy city. Lord, I'm reminded of the man who said that our hearts are defiled, our hearts are wretched, and your word says the heart is wicked, it's desperately depraved. Who can know it? And we don't even know our own hearts. And Jerusalem is like that. It's a city full of bloodshed. It's a city with a history of bloodshed. It's not been the city of peace that you named it, but it's been a city full of bloodshed and death. Millions have died there, have been slain on the hills, and treachery has abounded, and other terrible things in Jerusalem, as in many cities, not just Jerusalem. But Lord, You choose it as your dwelling place. You choose it as the place that you're going to come to earth and reign for 1,000 years. And your word says, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord's, to the house of the God of Jacob. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and the nations will stream to the mountain of the Lord. And that day is yet to come. And it's beginning now, but it's a prophecy. You are coming back to Jerusalem, your word says. And so we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that the word Yerushalayim, the shalom part, the shalayim part, is completed, Lord, that Jerusalem is completed and made a place of peace. We thank you, Lord, that you save your people Israel. Open their eyes. Lord, I thank you that you open the doors for Aliyah, for the return of Jewish people who believe in the Messiah to Israel. I thank you, Lord, that although we lost the case in the Supreme Court this past week, that we have a Jewish attorney who's a prominent man in Israel and that he's willing to fight for the Messianic Jews. And I believe that many Christians eventually will come and move and be able to be citizens of Israel. And you need to pray for that, people. And Lord, I pray for the American Messianic Jewish community, Lord. I pray for our leaders, for fresh vision this year, prophetic, bold, righteous leadership and governance, Lord, that our leaders would lead us in truth and righteousness. And I pray, Lord, that you would remove those who are not of you, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. Remove those that are not of you. And bring in those who are going to lead us and give us godly, righteous, and just leadership. Father, I pray also for the rabbis today that you give them boldness to speak the truth, give them a word for their people to feed the sheep. And I pray for the salvation of our Jewish people, Lord, that you would come and reveal yourself, Yeshua, to the Jewish people, for the time to favor Zion has come. Open their eyes, Lord, and save them. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant,
to bring Jacob back to him,
and gather Israel unto himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Amen.
Anavu, Ale, Arim, Radale,
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed, V'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha, V'chol levavcha, V'chol nafshecha, V'chol me'odecha, V'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher enochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha, V'shinatam levanecha, V'dibarta bam, V'shivtecha beveitecha, V'lechtecha vaderech, Uveshech b'cha, uvekumecha, ukeshartam, liot al yadecha, v'hayu atotafot pein einecha, uchetavtam, al mizuzot beitecha, uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity.
And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might.
And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, and upon your gates.
Okay. David, you up to carrying today? Okay. I have to call Isaac and David to carry the Torah. And if Charlie would like to come and open the ark, please. Kamocha be'elim Adonai ve'en kemasecha malchutcha malchut kol olamim u'mimsheltecha b'chol dor v'dor Adonai melech Adonai malach Adonai imloch le'olam v'ahed Adonai oz li'amo yitain Adonai yivarech et amo b'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace.
Talk.
been sorrowed by Yom Moshe. Kuma Adonai v'yafutsu oivecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion tetze Torah ki mitzion tetze Torah udvar Adonai v'Yerushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael B'kdushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from before you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamavora,
Baruch Adonai Hamrachalam Va'ed,
Baruch Adonai Hamrachalam Va'ed,
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim, V'nata Lanu Et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the blessed one. Blessed is the Lord, the blessed one, for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah.
Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen. You all can be seated. Okay, today we start, just got a couple comments this morning. Today we start a new book in the Torah, the second book, which is Exodus or Shemot, and it means names. And if you read the Torah portion today, the parasha, you will notice that it begins off with the genealogy, which is interesting. That always puts aligns us with people as to where they're at in the genealogy. You know, it's interesting to note that names, the name also means about redemption. For you see, as long as Joseph and the brothers lived there in Egypt, they enjoyed prosperity and security. And last week, Joseph passes away, and he's embalmed, and his remains stayed there in Egypt at that time. But the last brother, Levi, was the last of the 12 brothers to pass away in Egypt. And after he passed away, there was a lot of the Israelites and the Egyptians, their relationships changed quite rapidly because the new Pharaoh did not appreciate the Israelites other than the fact for the labor that they provided, that he was afraid that they were too numerous and they were going to take over Egypt. He said they're a mighty nation. So forced labor began to start, and the Israelites came under very harsh times. And so they began to cry out to God. But during this time, their spirituality was at a very low state, and they started to look at other idols and things. You know, they were in Egypt, just jumping ahead just a little bit. They were there for 430 years before God brought them out. They were there. So today's parasha actually introduces us to the life of Moses, the beginning of his life. You know, when Moses was born to his parents, he had an older brother, Aaron, and he had a sister, Miriam, and he was the youngest of the family. But at this time, Pharaoh had issued a decree to kill all of the Jewish babies that were boys. He wanted to keep the girls, but he wanted to destroy. So we see that anti-Semitism is not just something that's a new concept. It started it. In Egypt, it was at a big, big point because of the fact they were killing the little baby boys. And so Moses' mother and father, they hid him in the bulrushes. And I'm sure everybody's probably familiar with that story. His father was Amram, and his grandfather was Levi, and his mother was Jochebed, and she was the daughter of Levi. So his mother was his aunt too. So it was an unusual relationship back there. But they hid him in a tebah, which was actually an ark or a basket. And so one day Pharaoh's daughter came to bathe in the Nile River, and she heard him. And if you read it again, Exodus 2 verse 6 says that she saw the child. And you know, if you looked at the Hebrew text, Moses' name is most unusual because it's a lot of interpretation said she saw the child, but she actually opened the ark or the little basket that they had him in, and she saw him. She saw the child, but she saw him as a young boy, which is Yeled in Hebrew. But he cried out to her as a young man, which is Na'ar. And it was interesting because when you see the interpretation I read said when you saw the young boy with the man, it positioned them in opposition, but it also built a contrast because his cry was not for his mother, but they're saying that he actually cried because of his great potential that God had in store for him, because he was chosen by God before he actually was born. God had already chosen him. And if you look at the Hebrew, Moses, the root word is Masa, which means to save. So when she named him, I think she saw a glimpse of Yeshua in Moses, because she saw him as a savior, as a redeemer, as a Messiah, a foreshadow of the Messiah that was to come. And so she named him Moshe, which means, comes from the root word, which means I brought him out to save. So that's very interesting. So he was chosen. He was a chosen child before he was born. And that's, I think, what she saw in the child. I think that's why her spirit rose up in her when she realized this wasn't just a normal child that she found at the river's edge. And I think when she saw that in him, she disobeyed her father, because she was, after all, Pharaoh's daughter. And he had told everyone, you will kill the Hebrew male children. When they are born, you will kill them. So she disobeyed her father for a reason. I think that was because she saw Moshe as the redeemer of the Israelites. She didn't kill him. She took him. She defied her father, and she took him into the palace, and Moshe became her son there in the palace. And I'm sure he probably played around Pharaoh's stand, or when Pharaoh was in court or whatever. I'm sure Moses probably was there and maybe played around there a little bit, just adding that to it. Don't know, the scripture doesn't say that, but the important thing is that he was there in Pharaoh's house, and he was a Hebrew, and so there was no doubt that he was a Hebrew child. They knew it because of the covenant, the circumcision, that he was definitely a Hebrew child. And so she took him in, and she picked Moses' mother, which was by no accident, to nurse the child and take care of him. So just to close this morning, you see Israel living there in Hebron, we see Israel is actually like each of us today, because each of us today all need a redeemer and a savior. That's what we all need, just like Israel did then, to be brought out of the sin of Egypt. Shabbat shalom. Thank you.
Okay, I would like to take this opportunity to want to call Anthony back to the podium. Have a special gift for him today. Anthony, I bought you this. This is the Kyle. It's a Delitzsch Hebrew Gospels, and it's published by First Fruits of Zion. It's the Gospels in Hebrew and English, and it has some commentary, and I thought you would enjoy that. And so That's I wrote a little blurb in the front. You don't have to read it right now if you want, whatever. But essentially, you can read it if you want, or I'll. Got it right to left.
You read it. I can't. You read it.
To Anthony Cody, in recognition of many years of service to your congregation and to Adonai, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Love, Rabbi and Don, Tevet 19.
Thanks.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Start as soon as I go home. That's the first thing I do, start back on next week's.
He's always got something new, a new nugget for us all. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Anthony.
Yitzhak HaTorah Asher Samoshe Lifnei B'nei Yisrael Al Pi Adonai B'Yad Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. Our peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. You may be seated. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And I think we're mostly family here this morning. It's been a chilly, cold spell, and maybe that's why some people are having a little more difficulty getting out, but...
It's a bomb cyclone.
Yeah, I'm sure Rabbi's going to preach on the bomb.
I'm going to preach on the bomb cyclone.
So stay tuned.
You dropped a bomb on me, baby.
All right, so don't turn off. Stay tuned because things could get really, really heated up around here. And Rabbi's got a message for you, and it's going to start probably in about 45 minutes. So stay tuned. All right. And we want to welcome everyone online that's tuning in today. And this is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia. And we're the only Messianic congregation in this region, the Tri-Cities and the Mountain Empire, all the way from Roanoke to Knoxville down to Asheville. That's where anybody in that area up in Kentucky, we have people coming from Kentucky to visit. So come on down and visit us. The anointing is much stronger in person than it is on the video, isn't it? How many of you have watched remote? Have you watched it before, Deborah? What do you think? Is it better here? It's better here. Okay. Deborah, stand up and tell everybody it's better here.
Zay
Hallelujah. So come on out, and not only you won't experience it, but you'll be under the anointing of the Lord. When we're together, the anointing is much stronger. So just a couple announcements. We're going to have some oneg afterwards, so stay around, everybody here. We've got lunch.
In Hebrew, that translates as Sabbath joy. Uh-huh. In English, that translates as lunch.
Couple different translations.
Couple different
there.
Translations to oneg.
So, just a couple events coming up. This is still in the works, but I think we have a tentative date for a joint service with New Life Baptist Church and Pastor Bill Christian. And I think we haven't firmed it all up, but the talk is that we're going to have a service here Friday night, January 26th. So, We will confirm that, and I want to impress on people to please come and support this new thing that we're going to be starting to do together. Friday night services here and over there at their campus as well, which is out past the raceway, the race track. They've got a beautiful campus, a big building and everything. So we're going to be doing some services together, and it's going to be a little more relaxed, and we're going to come together and worship. All right? So that's January 26th. Then Purim starts March 1st and 2nd. That's a Thursday and Friday. And so we'll probably have a service on that weekend. So stay tuned. And then we also have Passover starting March 30th. And our banquet... It's the day after Easter, so
We'll get back to you on
that. I'll
get
you the
Passover's coming. Get ready. For those of you who come to our Passover at the Holiday Inn in Bristol every year, get yourselves ready. Start thinking about it, who you want to invite. It's always a great time, and... encourage you to get a table and bring some friends, bring your Sunday school, bring your pastor, and we'll send out information on that. We also have an Israel trip planned for November 15th. We'll be leaving in 2018. We have a trip to the Holy Land. As many of you know, Don and I lead tours, spiritual tours to the Holy Land, prophetic tours. And many people have been very blessed. They've told us on our tours. We've led about 8 of them. And we invite you to come with us. If you'd like information on our tour to the Holy Land, ours are usually a fair amount cheaper than a lot of the big tours that you'll see out there, the big name ones. Last year we were able to go for about less than $3,000 for 10 days. And that's pretty amazing because most tours are 4,000 or so. It may be a little more this year. We don't have a price yet, but I guarantee you we'll do the best we can for you. And so if you're interested, email us, go to on our website there and contact us that you're interested. Call our office. Our phone number's on the website. Let us know you're interested in going to Israel.
Amen. And one last thing, I've got receipts for everybody in the congregation, tithe receipts. There was one sent out last week. If you got one, the one I'm giving you today is revised because this week's deposit was posted for January instead of December. So I fixed that and all your tithes from last week. So your yearly receipt that I'm giving you today should be correct. So please see me afterwards, and I'll give you that. Okay?
Baruch Hashem, HaMashiach Yeshua. Hallelujah. All right. Well, Don and I, for those of you who weren't here, we traveled recently to the Southeast Regional Messianic Conference in Orlando, Florida, where... I was privileged to preach and share the message of the last president of the United States. which is a message that I believe the Lord gave me in February of 2016, 9 months before Donald Trump was elected. And we predicted that he would be elected, that he would destroy ISIS, and that he would destroy Islamic terrorism, that he would destroy Iran's nuclear capability, and that must happen during his presidency or the next one. A lot of people, and it was all based on Daniel 8, and one of the things I was listening to, as I listened to one of the tapes this morning, the CDs, is that there's a small horn in Daniel 8 that grows up, and that's a picture of the Antichrist, but it's also a picture of Antiochus Epiphanes, the evil character in the Hanukkah story. And what the Lord showed me about it is that Antiochus ruled for 3 years, which is in the biblical calendar is 360 days a year, so that's 1,080 days. And the man in the small horn that rises up in Daniel 8 rules and reigns and persecutes the saints for 2,300 days. So what we know from that chapter, and the angel Gabriel appears to Daniel in Daniel 8, and he says to him, Daniel, this is not for now. This prophecy is not for this time. It's for the very end. He says it twice. It's for the very end of the final end of the indignation, the end of days, and so the Lord just really hit me today that word, that prophetic word, has not been fulfilled, and so if you'd like to get a copy of that message of the last president of the United States, all you have to do is sign up for our newsletter on our website and just write us a note that you signed up, and sign up for our newsletter, and we will send you a free copy. Just, you know, give us your address, and we'll send you a free copy of The Last President of the United States, and I'll send you part two as well, okay? God bless you. All right, so we're going to have our tithes and offerings at this time, and I'm going to pray. If you're at home and you don't have a congregation, we always encourage everybody to give to their home congregation to tithe. If you'd like to make a donation, or if this is your home congregation from afar, we have friends in Myrtle Beach. I want to say hello, and we have friends up in Culpeper, Virginia, and we have friends watching all over the country, and we want to just say, let's all say shalom.
Shalom.
We love you. And we're gonna take up our tithes now. And if you'd like to give, you can give online. They say securely with PayPal. And so I'm gonna pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that everything we have belongs to you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that there's nothing we can do, there's nothing we can say that can win any favor or curry favor with you. There's nothing we can give. We can't give a wing of a hospital. We can't give a university. We can't give $1 million to any charity to please you. Lord, we can only do that which you require of us and which you ask us to do. And we just thank you, Lord, that you command us to give a tenth of all of our increase, Lord. You command us to give a tenth. And I've seen you bless, Lord. I've seen the blessings. So I pray that you bless the givers 100-fold. I pray that you bless them as they give. In the name of Yeshua, give them 100-fold return. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Yeshua's name. Let's bring our tithes and our offerings. And also, we have a spare change basket. We raised over $5,000 this past year for the poor in Israel. Over $5,000. We're not a large congregation. And you guys gave in spare change, just spare change in the basket, over $5,000. And I don't even know if that's the whole year. I mean, that was several months. And we gave that money to the Joseph Project. So praise God. Pat yourself on the back for that one. If you so, anyway, we gave. We had a fundraiser with Paul Wilbur, and we gave. Our money was doubled. The Messianic Jewish Alliance of America doubled our money. So we gave between $12,000 and $14,000 to the Joseph Project this November. And was it late November, I think, wasn't it? Anyway, December 2nd, that's what it was, Paul Wilbur. So God bless you for giving and supporting this ministry. Thank you. Bless you as you give. Amen.
A stone in you, a rock upon which to build. I lay a shoe in you, a beautiful place to dwell. I lay a name in you, a name upon which to build. I lay a shoe. Beautiful and to bear.
Thank you.
with all your power and might. As we stand here clothed in your righteousness, we will sing and dance for joy. For you have chosen Zion as a place to you.
To the Lord.
It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name. Proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night.
Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God. Amen. It is good to praise you, our Lord, and make music to you your name.
Proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night.
Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God.
Hallelujah. Sometimes I have to get that beat going again. Rabbi's got the beat, and then we can go. Thank you, Rabbi, for helping me out. I needed a little help.
That's what I'm here for. That's my function. My function is to help her get the beat.
Praise the Lord.
We were doing a little Kirk Franklin at the beginning here, and that's how I got the beat.
Love everlasting.
Sometimes we need to get a new perspective on things. We just need to see it differently. And that's why we need to come to him, because he can help us do that. Whatever it is, let's just say, Lord, help me to see it differently. Help me to overcome.
We're going to come to the Lord's table now for those folks who are watching online. So if you would like to get some matzah or crackers and some fruit of the vine, if you'd like to join us, this would be a good time to go get that. And we're going to come to the Lord's table, the Shulchan Adonai, and we're going to have communion. So feel free to go and grab those things right now. God bless you. And Deborah, would you like to serve today? And Patricia, would you like to come and serve? You have a cold? Okay, all right. Chan, would you like to serve today? Come on up. Deborah will show you what to do. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Hagafen Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Amotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal. We call it the cup of redemption. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." On that same Passover night, Yeshua and his disciples in Jerusalem took the middle piece of matzah, and we call the afikomen, and it's the middle layer of three pieces on every Passover table, and he broke that middle layer into small pieces and passed them around as we do at every Passover. And he gave them to his disciples. He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And by that, he forever changed the meaning of Passover and the fulfillment of the prophecy and of what Passover was about. And by showing us that the Messiah would come and be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and that the matzah, the bread, and the wine would represent his body and blood. We never knew that, and Jewish people today don't know that. They still do these things, but they don't know what it means. To them, it's just dessert, and then they follow it up after they do this with cake, and usually we have angel food cake, so it's very sad. So pray for the Jewish people, for their salvation. Pray for God to open their eyes that Yeshua is the Lamb of God, that he takes away the sins of the world, and he is the Messiah of Israel. Hallelujah. All right, ladies. I want to just say one last thing. We invite everybody who's a believer in Messiah to come to the Lord's table. If you're a believer, and you're watching, we invite you to come and do this. But if you're not a believer, Paul says that it's a cup of wrath to take the Lord's Supper. And if you're not a believer, if you're not, you know, it's not a cup of grace, it's a cup of wrath. So we encourage you not to. But if you don't know Yeshua and you'd like to know him, all you have to do is just follow me in prayer. Just follow me at home, wherever you are watching, and just say these words. Dear God, I believe that you sent Yeshua, Jesus, to die for my sins, to be the Messiah. Forgive me, God, because I've broken your laws. I have not kept them perfectly, as you demand. So, I confess I have failed. I've fallen short. With this prayer, I accept Yeshua into my heart. Write my name in your book of life. In Yeshua's name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you accepted Yeshua today and you invited the Messiah into your heart, please drop us a line, let us know, and God bless you. And ladies, I'm going to turn it over to you. Folks, come as you're ready. And I always say, come early and come often. Amen.
Give in to my prayer, oh Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, ladies. This is Chan's first time. Let's give it up for Chan. She's a young lady now. She came as a little girl, and now she's a young lady. Praise God. L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. All right, children, come on up. We're going to bless you. Charlie, I have one more for you here. I was hiding it. Thank you. Do we have any children today? Billy, come on up there. Come out there. Billy's got his Odell Beckham haircut. I love it. You like that haircut, folks at home? Odell Beckham? I thought it was Le'Veon Bell, so then I thought it was Odell Bell. Of course, I'm Joe Bell. So I may be related, but I can't run. I can't run and I can't catch. Corey Bell, Le'Veon Bell, and Joe Bell. And Odell. I wonder if there is an Odell Bell. Xavier, you going to come up and get a blessing? Come on, Xavier. I won't bite, I promise. I just nibble. Xavier, you got an Odell Beckham haircut, too. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for the children. We thank you, Lord. And we praise you for them, Lord. We bless them. And we pray all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Leah, Rebecca, and Rachel be upon them, Lord. The blessings of the patriarchs and the matriarchs of Israel. And we pray, Lord, your word says that the word of the Lord shall not depart from their mouths or their children's mouths, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, Isaiah 54. And we thank you, Lord, that your word does not depart from their mouths, and that we help us as parents and shepherds and friends to train them up in the way that they should go, that when they're old they will not depart from it. Lord, I pray. And I pray, Lord, that you prepare them for life, for what their purpose and their career will be, that you would begin to show them and reveal to them, speak to them. Pray that you would prepare them for their helpmates in life, whoever they are, that you prepare them to meet for that special time in life, Lord, that you would bring them a special person, Lord, when they're not looking for it. I thank you, Lord, as you did for me. And we just bless them now. Open their ears to hear your word, to receive the word, I pray, and let it bring forth a hundredfold return as the word comes into their hearts. Pray for all the children who are not with us today. We bless them, and We may they receive the blessings that we prayed for these kids. And also I pray especially for Josh, who's having a basketball game, for his safety, Lord, that you keep him safe and from injury, and that you give him success and victory. In the name of Yeshua, give him success and victory, and give your angels charge over him. Keep him safe and healthy. In Yeshua's name, amen. Thank you, kids. Are they staying up? Okay. Gang, you're staying up here, Miss Dawn says. She's bringing me a coloring page. You're bringing them a coloring page. Oh, I thought you were bringing me a coloring page. Are we on Facebook Live? Just tell me when. Hallelujah. We are? Shalom. I want to welcome the folks on Facebook Live who are watching. Welcome. God bless you. And shalom. Today's message is setting the bar. And we want to... a lot of people make New Year's resolutions and they fail to keep them. They talk about getting fit. They talk about changing their diet, losing weight. They talk about improving themselves and beautifying themselves in the coming year. A little liposuction, a little Botox injections, maybe a hair transplant, or whatever beauty secrets they try to accomplish, but usually fail. It usually doesn't work because, as I said in the preamble to this online, it's because people don't have conviction. I go to the gym, and I see a lot of people come to the gym in January and February, and then I don't see them in March and April. They stop coming. I go to the gym all year round, 4 or 5 days a week. It's discipline that I do. I go to the gym at least 4 or 5 days a week, and if I'm not exercising it, at least at home, at least 5 days, 6 days a week, I exercise. And I've seen year after year, I notice, and I talk to my friends, we see the new people come into the gym and then they disappear and we never see them again. Hallelujah. We never see them again. So today's message is setting the bar. Could you turn me up a little bit, or at least up on the monitor, so I can get a little more oomph in my, I appreciate it. And so... let me begin. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is true. Your word is a two-edged sword, and it's sharper. And it cuts to the core. And it's not about me, Lord. It's about you. It's about your word and your message. Open our ears. Anoint our ears to hear. Anoint our eyes to see what you have for us in your word today. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, amen. Okay, so as I said, last week was New Year's, a time when people make resolutions to get fit, to lose weight, to better themselves, maybe get a degree, or even to find a husband or a wife. They make all kinds of resolutions for the coming year. But sadly for many, I see this at the gym. As I said, there's lots of new faces in January, but most are gone by March or April. Never to be seen again by me, anyway. Why is it that so many people fall short of their goals, their New Year's resolutions each year? I believe it has to do with conviction. Unless a person has a serious, even life-changing conviction to accomplish a major change or of habit, or to achieve a goal, they often fail. They often fail. So what motivates people to be achievers? What is it that sets some apart from the pack and from the rest of the people to achieve greatness and success? Well, the answer depends on what measure is used to determine success. For some, the measure of success is beauty, Botox injections, plastic surgery, hair implants, liposuction, hair coloring. That's the measure of success. Success in business. For others, it's money, wealth, increasing wealth, acquiring more things, more stuff, the more successful they think they are. But what is success in God's eyes? God has a very different measure of success than we humans do. And it's not necessarily weight loss, although for some it can be. It's not beauty treatment. It's not getting chiseled and buff at the gym. That's not the heart of God to see us accomplished. That's not God's New Year's resolution, that we get buff and six-pack abs, okay? He may want us to lose weight for our health, but other than that, he's not so interested in six-pack abs. Okay, Psalm 2 says, God laughs at the kings of the earth. And the Bible says, his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways and his thoughts are above all things. They're higher than ours. Our job, number one, is to follow him. Our job, number one, is to follow him. When Yeshua met Peter and each of his disciples down by the lake, Kinneret, which is Galilee, he said two words, follow me, follow me. All right? And so number one, following him means something different for each disciple. For the 12, it meant leaving homes and families for 3 years, even more. They first had to come to believe in Yeshua. Then they learned to preach and to walk in miracles, signs, and wonders, and to lead the lost, Jew and Gentile, to him, to believe in him, and to be baptized. That's what following him, and also to keep the Jewish feasts. He taught them to keep the Passover. He taught them to keep all the feasts of Leviticus 23. Jesus even celebrated Hanukkah in John 10:22. He took these men who were not religious. They were secular Jews living up in Galilee. They were not learned men, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts. They were unlearned men. And he taught them about their own holidays. He taught them to celebrate biblical holidays. And you should be asking the question, if you haven't already thought about this, why doesn't the church celebrate the holidays that Jesus celebrated? Why doesn't the church celebrate, if John 10:22 is Hanukkah, and Hanukkah is the Feast of Dedication, John 10:22 says, and Yeshua, that's Jesus in Hebrew, Yeshua was in the temple, and he was walking in Solomon's portico, and it was winter time, and it was the Feast of Dedication. He was there. He walked 80 miles to celebrate Hanukkah, which isn't even in the Old Testament. It's a New Testament holiday. That tells a story that happened 168 years before the New Testament, or before the birth of the Messiah. Why don't Christians celebrate Jewish holidays? I'm not going to answer that question. I'm going to make you look it up. But it's because men changed the holidays. Men changed the calendar, just as Daniel 7 warns us. Men changed the calendar. They changed God's holidays and times. Messianic Judaism brings it back to the original. So if you want to get, we're not saying we have all the truth, but I am saying that we believe in salvation by grace. We also believe that God gave his feasts and his holidays. He taught his disciples how to keep them. Then he said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples, students, of all nations, teaching them what I taught you. He taught them Passover. He taught them love. He taught them to love their neighbor. He taught them to heal the sick. He taught them to perform signs and wonders. He taught them how to preach. He also taught them how to be good Jews. That tithing mint and cumin was less important than healing the sick on the Sabbath. He taught them things like that. That being a good Jew meant not abandoning a man lying on the road, but helping that Samaritan, that person lying in the road, being a good Samaritan. And helping that needy person who's lying there on the side of the road. He taught the Jewish people. He came back to us, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and taught us the way. He's the Messiah. Praise God. So following him, you know, as I said, it means something different for each disciple, for each of us. And we all have gifts. Some have been given a measure of faith, like or have a job the size of the widow's mite. And some of us have a job the size of the Apostle Paul. We don't all have the same marching orders as the Lord, but we all have to do the same thing to a different degree. Some more than others. Some are Billy Graham's. You know, Billy Graham, I was watching this documentary on the Queen of England. I was watching how Billy Graham visited the Queen. She watched him on television, invited him to the Royal Palace. She was fascinated with him. He came and he's preached. Now, she was the head of the crown of England, of the Church of England, so she couldn't endorse this brush salesman from North Carolina who was preaching the gospel, and all these Brits were crying and weeping and coming to the altar and being saved, and she couldn't endorse that because that wasn't the British way. And it was noted in the movie that Brits don't cry, they don't demonstrate emotion. But yet she was fascinated with Billy Graham, and so she invited him to the palace, and she invited him to preach at Windsor Chapel. On numerous occasions, Billy Graham visited the Queen, and they're still friends to this day. He preached the gospel to her and her family, and it's believed that she is a believer, and several members of the royal family, maybe the older members, are believers. I don't know about the younger ones. But the point is, God took a brush salesman from North Carolina to the palace. And I was at a breakfast 2 days ago with his grandson, Will Graham, because Will Graham's doing a celebration, which is a new name for a Billy Graham crusade. He's doing a celebration here in the Tri-Cities, and yours truly is on the steering committee of this event. And I was talking to Will, and I mentioned that about Billy Graham, his grandfather visiting the Queen. He said, my grandfather visited many kings and presidents and preached the gospel to them. You know, some of us are called to that level, and some of us are not. And that's okay. Amen? The point is, we've got to make the most of what we have. We've got to make the most of what we have. Remember, we're talking about setting the bar. Okay? So number two, in order to follow Yeshua, you need to know him first and what he's calling you to do. Not all are meant to be apostles, as I said. Not all are rabbis, pastors, not all are prophets, but yet we are all called to be salt and light to a dying world. Each one of us is called to be salt and light to a dying world. We're called to be seasoned with the gospel, with the word, and to share the word with the lost. And we're called to be light and to bring the light of the gospel of truth. I'm going to share how you can do that. And number three, the four pillars of our faith. After you come to faith, there is a sure way to grow. If you come to faith in the Messiah, there is a sure way to grow. And maybe you've come to faith on your own. You don't go to church, or you don't go to a messianic synagogue. And you know, here's how to grow. Here are the four pillars. Number one, read your Bible. Study your Bible. Read the Word of God. Study your Bible. Number two, pray often and worship. Pray often. It's said that the Queen of England prayed every night. She knelt down at her bed. She kneels down at her bed and prays. And every night before she goes to bed, she prays. King David prayed three times a day. So did Daniel. Pray and worship. Sing in the shower. Take a walk with your dog. Put on your headphones. Listen to Spotify. Put your praise music on. Worship. Number three, the third pillar, fellowship. Leviticus 23 says that God gave us the Sabbath as a holy convocation. That means a sacred assembly. God, so the Sabbath was not meant to be celebrated with your family at home. You were to assemble with the saints. Read it there in Leviticus 23. God says all of his feasts are to be sacred assemblies, solemn assemblies. That means a solemn assembly is when you gather together with God's people to worship God and gather together. Another scripture in the New Testament says, do not forsake the assembling together of the saints. Do not forsake it. So if you're sitting at home and you could be here, I urge you to come, because sitting at home, I understand if you're 300 miles away or 500 miles away. I get it. You can't come every week, and that's okay. If you don't have a congregation near you where you live, we're happy to be your congregation. If you're out in West Virginia, if you're up in Kentucky and you need a place to worship, we're happy to be that place if you're looking for a Messianic synagogue. But if you live nearby and you can be here, the bomb cyclone, it's sunny today. It's heading for the 20s. It's just winter. There's no snow. There's no ice. Come and worship. God requires it. This isn't me preaching. This is God's word. He says, Sabbath shall be a solemn assembly. Leviticus 23. And then in the New Testament, again, it says, do not forsake the assembling together, the gathering together. Amen? Okay. So fellowship is a huge part of being a part. And when you don't come to congregation, when you don't show up, people, God, there's a piece of God that's missing. Because you may have a word for somebody who's here, but you'll never get that word because you didn't come. You may have a prayer for somebody who's here who needs your prayer, but they'll never get that prayer because you didn't come. You may have a word of encouragement. You may be part of the worship team and bring joy and dance. We lack dancers today. We lack dancers today. Because we didn't get enough to come. And that, you know, you have to answer to me. You have to answer to God. You know, I don't, it's not up to me who comes in through the door. It's up to God. It's up to the Lord. Amen? And so, but if you're home and you're near here and you can be here, fellowship is important, God tells us. Shabbat is a holy convocation, and as I said, do not forsake the gathering, the assembling together of the saints. So don't be lazy and just watch it on TV if you're nearby, even if you're an hour and a half away. We've had people drive here all the time who live an hour, 2 hours away. And anyway, number four, the fourth pillar, and lastly, the fourth pillar is to share your faith with the lost. I want to tell you, I was in Florida recently with some friends, and we were having dinner on our last night. I was at conference, and I preached at the conference, and Don was on the worship team at the conference, and I was the MC on Sunday of the conference, the Southeast Regional Messianic Jewish Alliance of America conference. And we went out to dinner with some friends on the last night of the conference. And I just happened to say to my waitress, we were jovial, and I said to my waitress, I'm taking a survey. We're taking a survey, I said. Who do you think Jesus is? You know, she's not Messianic. She doesn't know who Yeshua is. I said, who do you think Jesus is? And she said, you know, I've been going to church. My boyfriend's a Christian, and I've been kind of into this. I'm not really sure. Is he the Son of God? And I said, he is the Son of God. And he came to die for your sins and mine. And incredibly, he rose from the dead on the third day. And I asked her, I said, do you believe that? Her name was Jessica. And she said, yes. She said, I believe it. I said, have you ever invited Yeshua? Have you ever invited Jesus into your heart to be your Savior? And she said, no. I said, is there any reason you shouldn't do it right now? She said, no. I said, well, let's pray. And she prayed. I said, just follow me. Dear God, I believe that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. Forgive me, God, for breaking your laws. Forgive me for transgressing, for trespassing against you. Wash me of my sins and come into my heart. Send your Holy Spirit to dwell in me and put my name in your book of life forever. I want to know you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And she prayed, and she was transformed. She said something happened to her, and she was joyful, and she was exuberant. She couldn't wait to get home and tell her boyfriend, and she was changed. She was totally changed right there at that dinner table. And you can do that too. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. In fact, I've printed what I just said up. And David, would you pass these out for me to people? And I'll take the rest of them. But you can learn this. It's called the proposal statement. Mostly I adopted it from Jews for Jesus. I've changed it a little bit, but it's I got to give credit where credit is due. I learned it at Jews for Jesus. You can walk through the park, people sitting on a bench. You can walk down the street and stop somebody on the street and say, hey, can I ask you a question? You can get a clipboard. Go out one, two by two, get a friend, grab a clipboard. Have you, leading people to the Lord is very critical. These are God's New Year's resolutions. God's word says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Daniel says in Daniel chapter 12 that they who lead the many to righteousness will shine like the brightest stars. Those of you who lead the many to righteousness will shine like the brightest stars. Your star, your light in heaven will shine brightly if you lead people to the Lord. And so I've given you a tool that works. I've used it thousands of times. Thousands. I've gone up to thousands of people and said, excuse me, can I ask you a question? Who do you think Jesus is? And, I've given you, if they say no, if they say yes, how to answer them and how to respond. And I urge you to pray. Take this piece of this gold nugget I just gave you. It's a gold nugget. Take it, memorize it, practice it, and use it. When you go to a restaurant, you can talk to a waitress. If you go to a festival like the one in Abingdon or the Appalachian Fair, you can stop and talk to people sitting on a bench. If you want to go out with a friend, get a couple clipboards. Hey, we're taking a survey. Who do you think Jesus is? And that's, you get off, start a conversation right there. I guarantee you, you pray before you do it. Ask the Lord to bless you and to protect you as you go out with your friend or your spouse. Or if you're working, you don't even need a partner. You can do it, in your office, if you feel comfortable. But the point is, pray before you do it. Ask God to give you fruit and to give you divine appointments. And be bold. The key thing is not to be wishy-washy and timid. Because if people see you're timid and don't have faith, they're not going to have faith. Amen? I've led hundreds of people. Is that correct? Is that true, Don? Hundreds of people to the Lord using this statement I just gave you. And look at all the people that could have been here today that didn't get this. Maybe I'll give it to them. Maybe I won't. People don't know how to lead people to the Lord. And if you'd like a copy of that proposal statement that I just said, you contact our ministry and we'll send one to you. If you're watching today, I'll send one to you because it's a nugget. You want to store up treasure in heaven? Man, you lead people to the Lord. It's so easy to do. It is so easy to do, and yet we don't do it. And you know what? God convicted me when I was in Florida and I led this young lady to the Lord. He didn't convict me to do a victory dance. He convicted me and said, why aren't you leading more people? That's what he said to me. You should be leading more people to me. You're too quiet. You're not talking enough. You're not sharing enough. I'm going to talk about this, but we've only been given so many days on this planet, gang. And we only have so... I realize that in terms of time, I'm entering the last third. Maybe I'm entering the third period. If we have four periods of 20 years, I'm entering the third period, you know. Or if we have four quarters or three quarters, you know, of 75 years, I'm in the third quarter, and I've got work to do. And you know what? I didn't make a New Year's resolution, but I have struggled. God has told me to write a book, and I have been struggling for over a year to write this book. I've just struggled and struggled, and I'll admit it. I have been just to get motivated. I never wrote a book, you know. How many of you ever written a book or written a song? But God has provoked me to jealousy, and I've seen other rabbis write books, and they're doing it. They're writing books. They're selling them. They're writing them. God's given me, I believe, an incredible book to write, and it's a prophetic book, and I'm not going to share what it is yet until it's ready, but I started writing it, and my New Year's resolution was to write a chapter a day. And do you know what? Since New Year's, I've written three chapters. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So on weekdays, and I can't say I'm going to write one every day of the week, 7 days a week, but I've written three chapters of the book, and I'm hoping to be finished close to the end of February. You know, that's 28 days, 28 chapters. That should cover the book, right? We're not done with January yet. So I'm planning to finish this book, hopefully by the end of February. I'm setting my goal. But where did I get my unction? My motivation. As I said, people fail with most of their New Year's resolutions. People fail to keep their diets. People fail to go to the gym. People fail to do the things they said they were going to change because they don't have conviction. But I've been provoked to jealousy by other rabbis writing books and seeing them be some being successful with it. And so God, who has told me 12 years ago to write books, you know, but that wasn't the rabbis that kicked me. It was Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah, that's right. I was watching a documentary on Fox about Shaquille O'Neal with Harvey, what's his name, from TMZ, interviewed him. And Shaquille O'Neal, he played basketball, and his parents left in his third year of college at LSU to play pro basketball. And his parents were upset with him. They said, Shaquille, the money can wait. So he was going for the money. And his parents said, Shaquille, the money can wait. Finish college. And he told him he would finish someday, but that he was going to go play ball. And he was over 18. He was an adult. He was probably 20 years old. And he left and he went pro and he made millions and millions of dollars. He wanted to be a rap star and he made gold records, rap records. He was in movies. He was recruited. He was in several films where he was a movie star. Shaquille O'Neal, some of you don't know this, but he goes out with the police as an auxiliary police officer. I remember when he was in North Carolina, I'm not sure where else he's done it, but he was an auxiliary cop going out with the police. He likes to, and you know what he said? His goal is, I didn't even tell you this. After he finished his career in the NBA, around the early 2000 period, he went back to college. He had a family. He made gazillions of dollars. He raised a family, a beautiful family, got married. His kids are young adults. And he went back after basketball, and he got his degree, went back to LSU, finished that fourth year of college, got his degree in business. Then guess what he did? He went online to a university online, and he got his MBA. Shaquille O'Neal got his MBA online, all while he's doing these business things. And then and then he went on after that for 5 years, And he got a doctorate, a PhD in education. Shaquille O'Neal, Dr. Shaquille O'Neal. He is qualified to be the president of a university. Thank you, Charlie. He's qualified to be the president of a university, and he's got an MBA. He could be the president of a company, of a corporation. He could be, you know, he could be incredible. He's already successful. But you know what he said he wants to do? He wants to be a sheriff. He said in 2020 he's going to run for sheriff either in Atlanta or in Florida. That's his goal, his dream. He wants to be the sheriff. So, and Dawn said she thinks it's because he wants to speak into kids' lives. He wants to minister to the kids, young people. So he wants to be a sheriff. And there's a guy who's done everything that he's wanted to do. That's what motivated me to write my book. Not just other rabbis writing books, but what started me writing my book, and I wrote three chapters this week, was not that so much. It was the rabbis writing books was motivating me. But when I heard the Shaquille O'Neal story and how he went back to college and finished his degree after basketball, then he went on and got an MBA, then he went on and got a doctorate in education. He was a movie star. He was a gold record winning rap star. He had his own recording studio. And he's done all these things. And he has other businesses that we don't even know about. I mean, you know, he's their spokesperson for numerous products. And I said, man, I got to get off my rear end and start. There's things I got to do before I leave this place. And I'm saying this to motivate you. If Shaquille O'Neal could do all this stuff, what can you do? What can I do? Amen? I mean, he had a hugely successful basketball career. He doesn't need to do anything. You know? He doesn't need to do anything else. All right, let's talk about commitment. Whatever else God is calling you, whatever else God is calling you to beyond the four pillars I spoke of, and I'll remind you what the four pillars are. Four pillars are prayer and worship, study your Bible, attend congregation, assemble, do not forsake the assembling of the saints, and as it says in Leviticus 23, that the feasts, which the Sabbath is one of, are solemn assemblies, holy convocations. And I want to also say, God wants you to be on time. God wants you to come on time. And I want to exhort you to make it a goal to come to services on time, whether it's here, in your church, wherever you go, your congregation, come on time. If you're part of the praise team, you need to be on time. If you're part of the dance team, you need to be on time. Whatever it is you do, or if you just come and sit, you need to be there on time. God wants you. It's not the rabbi you're disrespecting or the Rebbetzin. It's God. When you don't show up on time, now I understand people run into situations, and I get that. You know, the cat ran out of the door and you had to chase it. The dog ran away, you know. Child had problems getting ready or was sick. You know, there's reasons why people are late. But if you're just sitting at home watching because it's cold outside, that doesn't cut it with God. You need to be on time in the house of the Lord. It's very important. And if you're a servant of God, you need to be on time in the house of the Lord. If you're serving in the house, you need to be on time or don't serve. But serving is what gets you to the next level. It's what gets you where you're going. Serving God is what gets you. You know, there's a scripture in the Proverbs that says the gift of God brings a man before great, brings you before great men. The gift of God, the gift that God has given you, and we've talked about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 14. The gift that God has given you will bring you before great men. Okay? So Charlie, for example, sitting back there, he has a gift of helps, and so I needed somebody to pick up Paul Wilbur. Paul Wilbur is a great man. I saw Paul Wilbur performing in Israel yesterday. I watched it online on Shabbat. He was in Israel. He performs all over the world. He ministers. He's a great man. Charlie got to spend a day with him recently because that's what Charlie does. You know, Charlie is has the gift of helps, and he serves. And so he served Paul Wilbur that day, and I needed somebody to do it. And God brought Charlie before a great man. God has brought me before great men. I've met ambassadors. God's brought me before. I've met two of the top four authors in all of Christianity, let alone Messianic Judaism. I spent an evening here in Bristol with 30 other people having dinner with David Wilkinson, the man who wrote The Prayer of Jabez and The Secrets of the Vine. He's one of the top four authors, best-selling authors in the world, in Christianity. I know Jonathan Kahn. Jonathan Kahn is one of the top four authors, maybe number two, maybe number three, in all of Christianity, not just Messianic Judaism. His book, The Harbinger, and his other following books have made him one of the top four best-selling authors in all of Christianity. So, little Joe Bell, little Rabbi Joe here in Bristol, has visited and knows and corresponds with some of the at least one of the top four authors in Christian history. And the number one is the Bible. Number two, the other one is the Left Behind series, and then the other two are The Prayer of Jabez, The Secrets of the Vine, and The Harbinger by Jonathan Kahn. And those are the top four authors in all of Christianity. Praise God. And I've met two of them and spent time with them. What a privilege. I've met ambassadors. I've met members of Knesset. I've met congressmen. I have a friend who's a congressman. I've met senators. And God has brought me before great men. I've met great rabbis and great ministers. Coach McCartney, the founder of Promise Keepers, came to Bristol. I had lunch with him and 25 other men. And I asked somebody to introduce me to Coach McCartney of Promise Keepers. And they brought me up to him and he put his arm around me and said, you would have made a great defensive, is it offensive tackle or defensive? I guess tackle would be defensive, right? Offensive? Well, anyway, he said, you'd make a great tackle. And I don't know whether to take that as a compliment because I'm a big guy. I'm not going to tell you how big, but I'm pretty big. And he didn't say you'd make a great wide receiver or running back. Tackles are big guys. So anyway, I kind of wished that I was a little skinnier. But anyway, that's what the coach said to me. And so let's go on with commitment. Whatever else God is calling you to beyond the four pillars, which I just mentioned, maybe to be a missionary to Nepal, to write books, to lead worship or dance, to teach children, to run a kitchen or hospitality, to preach, to do security, to teach children. The 12 apostles succeeded in answering the call, though they failed at times. The 12 apostles succeeded in their calling, but they failed. Everybody say they failed. They fail. At time. Peter denied the Lord, yet he repented and he completed his race. Peter denied the Lord, and he was the greatest of all the apostles. And he denied the Lord. He was the leader. God took him aside at the end of, before he ascended, you know, left this world, he Yeshua took him aside. He said, "Come have breakfast on the shores of the Sea of Galilee." Yeshua said, "Come have breakfast." And he took Peter aside and said, "Peter, do you love me?" He said it three times in three different ways. Do you phileo me? Do you love me as brotherly love? Do you agape me? Do you love me with messianic or Christian love, godly love, holy love? And what was the third way? Anybody remember? I can't remember the word. But anyway, he asked him three different ways. Do you love me? And Peter said, "You know I love you, Lord. You know I love you." And God, and the Lord said to Peter, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." And he told him, he said, "When you're older, people will take you somewhere you don't want to go, and you aren't going to have any say in it. They're going to take you where you don't want to go." And by this, it says he was talking about the way Peter would die. He was crucified upside down. And that's how he gave his life for the Lord. He was crucified for his... He was martyred. Every one of the apostles except for John, St. John the Revelator, was martyred for their faith. Praise God. But they all succeeded. Yeah, they failed. Thomas... He was doubting. He said, "Unless I see the hole in his hand, I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to believe." And the Lord used that and said, "You have to see, but those who are going to come after you are going to believe without even seeing." Praise God. How blessed are they who have believed yet not seen. So God is calling you to be more than a pew warmer. He's calling us to serve. Are you serving God? And if you're putting it off like a New Year's resolution, what will it take to motivate you? Whatever your commitment is, remember, God sees and will ask you. Your commitment isn't to me, people. Your commitment is to God. Whether you show up for services, you have to answer to God. Not me. If you blow off services because you want to go shopping or practice your hobby or go hunting or whatever it is you do, I'm not the one you're going to have to answer to. It's God when you stand before Him and He's called you to serve and you didn't do it and you didn't run the race and you didn't complete and you didn't finish the race because you didn't show up. And it's not me you're going to have to answer to. So whatever your commitment is, remember, God sees. And He's going to ask you. He's going to ask you personally. What will it take to motivate you? And here's the answer. I think God provokes us to jealousy. For example, if you've been called to make a film but haven't done it, God will bring people around you who've accomplished the same goal. He'll bring achievers across your path until you become so convicted you're moved to do what God is calling you to do. Like Revi Peter, who spoke here 2 weeks ago, who was called to Haiti, who was kicking boxes in his garage. People stored boxes for the Haitian orphans in his garage. He was kicking boxes. And he said in his sermon, he lost his temper in Haiti. He ran out in the night and he was out on the street. He was angry. He was ready to fight. He said he didn't know, you know, it was dangerous to be out at night in Haiti. He was ready to fight anyone. He'd never fought anyone in his life, but he was so angry he was going to fight the next person that came along. And a car came along, he said, and pulled over. And Revi Peter thought he was in for a fight. He was going to fight this guy. And the man rolled down the window and said, Rabbi Peter, you spoke at my church. And Peter said, "Oh, yeah, I guess I did." And all of a sudden, all that fight went away. But he was an angry man who didn't want to answer the calling of God on his life. He was an angry man who didn't want, but God used him anyway and showed him, Peter, it's not about you. It's about me. Amen. It's not because you're so great, Revy Peter. It's because I have chosen you. And I have called you to Haiti. And I have sent you. And you will do this work that I command you to do. Kicking and screaming, whatever. You're going to do this job. And he did it. And he loves it. And he's having a great time. You heard him. How many of you heard Rabbi Peter? I encourage you to listen to his message again. You can go online. You can watch it again. It's awesome. It's a great message. Okay. And by the way, Anthony taught on Hanukkah a couple weeks ago, and my pastors Ed and Kathy Bowers told me they were here, and they said that they really enjoyed your message. That Pastor Ed really wanted to learn about Hanukkah, and he was very blessed by your message, he said, and wanted you to know that, so I wanted to share that with you. Amen. So, you know, praise the Lord. So the 12 succeeded in answering the call, though they failed at times. Peter denied the Lord. So God is calling you to be more than a pew warmer. He's calling us to serve. How are you serving God? How? Or how well are you serving God? That's for you to decide, not me. That's between you and God. How well? I go to the chiropractor and they ask me, how much is your back pain? Level 5, level 4, level 3, level 6, 7, 8, 9. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your back pain? And I have to decide and write down a number when I go to the chiropractor. And he helps me. He loosens me up. But it takes time. When I stop going and I get stiffened up, and then I go for a while, he loosens me up. Helps me get moving so I can dance to Kirk Franklin. Okay? That was my Kirk Franklin dance. Don't get too excited. All right. So how are you? What number on a scale of 1 to 10 are you serving God? That's between you and God. You have to answer. Are you serving at level 6 with 10 being the best? Are you serving at level 5? Are you even serving at all? Are you even serving God at all? Are you even answering the call of God on your life? At the very least, you could be in services. That's a good start. Praise the Lord. That's what his word says. What will it take to motivate you? Praise God. God will bring, I told you that, he'll bring people around you. And Peter resisted his call to serve in Haiti until he yielded. He was so broken, he was ready to fight somebody. You won't be happy until you surrender to the Lord. You won't be happy until you surrender to the Lord and do his bidding. You will be miserable running away like Jonah. If you don't surrender to God and do his bidding. And I'm going to tell you something. If you think your sin is too great to serve God, look at your sin today and then ask yourself, did God know I was going to sin when he saved me? Did God know I was going to blow it when he saved me? Did God know I was going to mess up when he saved me? When Peter denied the Lord 3 times, did God know when Peter said to him at Caesarea Philippi, and the Lord said, Peter, who do you say I am? You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Yeshua said, surely man has not shown you this, only God has revealed this to you. And I say that you are now Kepha, and on this rock, not on Peter, but on this truth, on this rock of this truth, that I am the Messiah, I will build my assembly, my congregation. Peter blew it. Many of them blew it. And God knew they were going to blow it. I've blown it. But you know what God keeps telling me? My grace is sufficient for you. Whatever you're going through, my grace is sufficient for you. I will carry you through. I will see you through whatever it is. And my grace is sufficient for you. Somebody give me an amen there. God is calling you to commitment. To commitment, to commitment, to commitment, to serve. Read Mark 10:29. Not every believer is a disciple. Did you know that? Just because you believe doesn't make you a disciple. What is a disciple? Jesus, Yeshua said it in Matthew 16:24 and Luke 9:23. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. If you want to be a disciple, you got to lay down your desires. You got to lay down your TV. You got to lay down your hunting bow. You got to lay down your fishing pole. You got to lay down your shopping days or whatever it is, or your lunch date, and come and worship God and be in the house of the Lord. That's where your service to the Lord begins. That's what a disciple is. Someone who's denied himself or herself, taken up their cross and followed him. Mark 10:29, talking about commitment, says, truly, truly. People say, I have too much wealth. I can't sell all my wealth. Lord, I have a family. How can I serve you? I have children. My wife has children too. I ran a bagel shop, an apartment building, a ministry, a congregation, and I was a fundraiser. I had 5 jobs at one time. Yeah, and I got cancer too. But at one time I had 5 jobs. I've peeled away many of them, basically down to this. I'm a rabbi. And God is providing for me miraculously. Miraculously, he's providing for me and my family. And, but I have never, I'm not bragging, but my commitment has been steadfast. Yeah, sure, there's days I didn't want to do things. There's days I didn't want to, do this or that. But I know who I am. I know what I believe. I know where I belong. And I'm doing it. And 90%, guys, is showing up. 90% of being successful is just showing up. If you don't show up, you miss opportunity. I went to the Will Graham breakfast 2 days ago. I wasn't going to go. I was going to go to the rabbi's conference in Florida, but I'd been traveling so much I was tired. So I decided, even though I said to the people from Billy Graham that I wasn't going to come to the breakfast, I went. There were over 300 pastors and wives and deacons there and elders. And they have a drawing for a door prize. And they gave me a little ticket. And Billy Graham has this place called The Cove. It's a retreat center in Black Mountain, North Carolina. And I've never been. I've always wanted to go. And they said, we're going to give away 4 weekends as door prizes to The Cove, at Billy Graham Cove. And I said to the Lord, I said, gee, Lord, I said to him privately to myself, I said, I'd really like to go. I'd really like to go there. I've always wanted to go, Lord. And then somebody at the table said, who's going to win it? And I said, I am. And then they called the number 100 feet away on the microphone. It said, whoever has the ticket, 376. I said, that's me. And I got up and I collected my prize. And I'm going 2 days after the Billy Graham, the Will Graham celebration here in the Tri-Cities on May 1st for my birthday weekend. I'm going to the Cove. Praise God. And I don't think that's cheap either. That was a nice gift. So God bless me because I showed up. I made connections with pastors. I was asked to do Passovers. Sometimes just showing up, God will bless you. You just got to show up. God's calling you to commitment to serve. Mark 10:29, truly, truly, I say, and don't give excuses. God, you can give me all the excuses you want, but he's not going to, it doesn't matter what excuses you give me, it's what you give him. You're going to have to stand in front of him and explain your excuses, okay? Not me. Mark 10:29-30. And he, you know, there was a guy, an intercessor named Reese Howells. Reese Howells had a baby, and God called Reese to Africa. Reese didn't come home and see that baby till he was 5 years old. Do you think the apostles, when they left their family for 3 years, sacrificed? We've lost the concept of what sacrifice is. We have totally lost what sacrifice is. People in the church, in the messianic community, for the most part, have no concept of what sacrifice means. We've just totally lost it. Here's what sacrifice is, according to Yeshua, to Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left his home, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or farms, for my sake, and for the gospel's sake, but that he shall receive 100 times as much now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms along with persecution, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Praise God. That's not my words. That's the Lord. You're gonna he may call you to leave your children to serve. That's the commitment, the level of the depth of commitment that God is asking some of us. I get the, you don't believe the excuses I get why people can't do the littlest things for God. You wouldn't believe the excuses I get. I've given my life. I left my home. I left my job. I left my family. I left the land where I loved and lived for 30 years of my life to come to you, to come here. What have you given up? My wife gave up being a DC-10 pilot to serve Yeshua. She gave up flying around the world. She's flown me to Amsterdam. She's flown me to London. She flew to Hawaii. She gave up a big job as a DC-10 pilot for Northwest, which is now Delta, to serve the Lord. What have you given up? Good preaching, Rabbi. How many disciples? Well, talking about commitment. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You have to believe in your dream. And the things that you can't see, you see them in the spirit. They'll never come to pass in reality if you don't walk it out with the Lord. God will give you dreams for your future and hopes and plans. He says, for I know the plans I have for you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plan to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. But if you won't follow the Lord, if you won't obey him, you tie his hands from blessing you. Commitment. To meet God's New Year's resolution is to step out in faith, people. Step out of your box. Are you in a religious box, a tradition box? Is God calling you? And are you getting fed? Are you missing something in your walk, in your faith? Is there something out there that you're not getting? Are you bored? Are you dying where you worship? Maybe you're missing something because you're not ever afraid to get out of the box and do what God's called you to do. Step out of the box and go and make disciples of all nations. How many disciples have you made? How many disciples? How many disciples have you made? I say to you here, I say to you watching. I'm saying it to motivate you so that you make some. How many people have you led to Yeshua? Have you led anyone to Yeshua? You're going to have to stand in front. The Bible says we're branches, and branches that have no fruit on them will be thrown in the fire. What is the fruit? The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The fruit on the tree are souls. Well, with the time that you have left, I want to encourage you, exhort you to win souls. At least one. Go win a soul. It's really not that hard. Just pray. I've given you this tool to win souls. If anybody wants one that's here now that didn't get one, raise your hand and maybe Diane will bring one to you. If anybody didn't get this piece of paper, it gives you it's a nugget that'll teach you how to win a soul. Praise God. Why am I saying this? So that when you meet the Lord, you'll have fruit and you won't be a branch tossed into the fire. Step out of your box and go and make disciples. How many people have you led to the Lord? You don't have to answer to me. You have to answer to him. Remember, he commanded us to heal the sick. How many people have you healed? How many people have you laid hands on and healed? He tells us, go and heal the sick. People say, God heals. Yeah, he does. He uses people a lot. He doesn't just zap them down on high and heal them all the time. Sometimes he does. But a lot of times it's people laying hands, anointing with oil, and praying over somebody. I've seen fevers lifted, blind eyes open. I've seen the lame walk. I've seen a shriveled arm lengthen. I've seen the deaf hear. I've seen three people get out of wheelchairs who had been in them for 15 to 20 years each, who couldn't walk. I've seen three of them walk. I've seen people healed of cancer. I've seen the mute tongue speak twice. If I died today, I know I got a fruity tree. Do you? You can do miracles. What makes you any different than me? Do you have the same spirit? Do you have the same spirit? Not just you here, you watching too. Do you have the Spirit of God in you? Then you can go do miracles. You just have to believe. Raise the dead. These are the New Year's resolutions of God. I do not say them to condemn you, but to challenge you, to motivate you. All right. Priorities. God should be your number one priority in life. God wants us to strike a balance. I've heard it said that the top three priorities of a believer should be God, family, and ministry. But when I read Mark 10:29 and God says, leave your family if I call you to ministry, then ministry is the number two priority to God. So I think when family, God's saying, strike a balance. And that's what I was talking to Dawn, and she said, you know, we've looked at Don has had to work, a lot of people through the years have homeschooled their children. Many people. We've tried to start a school. If people would have worked with us through the last 20 years, and we had the charter to start a school. It's in our bylaws and our, you know, it's all legally ready to go. We can start a school. But we couldn't get parents to commit to starting a messianic school. We couldn't get the parents to commit. So we don't have one. We could have had a messianic school in the Tri-Cities because they were interested in homeschooling and they had other agendas. My wife has two kids. I have two wonderful boys. I have two beautiful boys, two great kids who I love dearly. And you know what? I didn't homeschool them. My wife worked, I worked, and our kids went to school, and praise God, they're good kids. They're good kids who love the Lord. Are they perfect? No. Do they make mistakes? Yes. But I thank God for them, and I pray for them, and I pray for your children too. Hallelujah. So, priorities. God at the top, ministry, family. There should be a balance between your family and your ministry. But don't give, think about it. Before you give, read Mark 10:29. Before you give God the excuse, I can't serve you because I have family issues. In fact, the Lord himself said, let the dead bury the dead. Some guy said to the Lord, Lord, I have to go and bury so-and-so. And the Lord himself said, let the dead bury the dead. You think I'm tough? He's 20 times tougher than me. Let the dead bury the dead. God wants us to strike a balance here through some. Some are called to great sacrifice and to leave their families, and others are called to just more simple things, and that's fine as long as you're doing what God's called you to do. Your strength, Peter said, it's not your rabbi and Rebbetzin who provide the power of the congregation. It's you serving God and obeying his commandment to serve and to do the things he said: preach the gospel, save the lost, heal the sick, pray, make disciples of all nations. It's you doing what God's called you to do. Worship, whatever the gifts he's given you, it's you walking in your gifts and showing up. That's what gives us the power to do what we're called to do. We're called to minister and to teach and to train because we've done more of it than you. I guarantee you, I have. That's why he put me up here. But I can't, if you don't show up, how can I train you? How can I work with you? I'm not going to chase people all over the world. You know, I'm not going to chase people all over town. People want to show up, that's up to them. God's going to take care of me and my family. My heart is to see people successful. I want to see your dreams. Joseph had a dream. He dreamed that his brothers would bow down to him. And then he went through every ounce of suffering to make his dream come to pass. Amen? Joseph had a dream. You have dreams. If you follow the Lord and obey him and go through his hoops, your dreams will come true. Your dreams will come true. But it was Thoreau or Emerson who said, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Why? Because they don't serve God. They don't follow the Lord. They don't obey him. They don't do what he says. And their dreams never come to pass. Rabbi Peter said, your strength activates the miracle on the shepherd who's been placed here. If you want to see Don and I perform miracles, and you want to see Don and I perform healing, and you want to see, this is a machine, and you're the gears, you're the guts of the machine. You know, we're just the hands on the clock. You know, that's what we are. We're just the mouthpiece. But it's not just my ministry. It's your ministry too. It's God's called you here or wherever he's called you. Your identity in Messiah is as a people who are manifesting the Messiah. Not just believers, but you need to manifest the Messiah. People should see the manifestation of the Messiah in you. And what did the Messiah do? The Messiah led people to him. He led sinners to repent. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He opened the eyes of the blind. He unstopped the ears of the deaf. The Messiah he celebrated the feasts. He taught us what true Judaism is. And he taught us how to love one another. He taught us the things we'd lost as a nation, Israel, his people. And he taught us that the Gentiles were going to come in and join with us. So we invite you. You don't have to be Jewish to come here. I invite you to come and worship with us. Please stand up. I want to bless you. And that's how we set the bar for 2018. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Aronai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Aronai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yisem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Shabbat shalom. God bless you. God bless you all on Facebook and those watching online, live stream. We love you. Shabbat shalom. See you next week. God bless you. Yes, Don. Don has an announcement. Shh, please. We need one more volunteer. David and Diane. Okay, thank you.